Claire is here, my 11 and a half year old daughter here, and she has been great resource and assistant to me, especially for my preaching preparation. Okay, so in that way, I can give her this title, my preaching assistant. Okay, she at times helped me identify which series would draw more interest and engagements from people like you. That way, one idea that she suggested in the past was to consider Jesus' words that would make us first and foremost ask him back, Jesus, do you really mean this? That type of reactions, okay? Then she and I thought it could be a good title for an interesting series. And last week, Claire asked me, when I would have that series, then I felt like that switch turned on to give more light. And I feel, hey, that's what we are doing with the series on the Beatitude. Okay, Jesus said, blessed are the poor, and blessed are those who mourn, and blessed are the meek. Here, our response to these first three Beatitudes would be, Jesus, do you really mean this? Right? Do you really mean this? What? Who are blessed? The poor, those who mourn, and those who are considered meek? Yes, as I introduced last Sunday, these words are countercultural, counterintuitive, not in line with how we think and view our lives. How come being in need would be a blessing? Having everything we want makes us feel satisfied and happy? Apparently, these words of Jesus, which are known as the Beatitudes, meaning blessedness, needs more study, more attention. This is more true than ever if we wanted to have this new year, a year of blessedness and happiness, as we learned last Sunday, the Latin word beatitude and its Greek translation, makarioi, all like mean both happy and blessed. And that's why we chose this as our new year series. Oh, for a year of happiness and blessedness. Today we think about the third beatitude. If you missed last Sunday message, and check out our video on our Facebook page or check out our website for its audio. The third beatitude reads, blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. What? Inherit the earth? Sounds good, but who seem to have that privilege in our world? They are people with power, power in political, social, economic, military areas. Not a kind of persons who would be considered meek if the meek were entrusted with the power of our society, then could they be strong enough to defend it? Could they be clever enough to keep it for us in this brutal world? You know, the world that we live in is a world that promotes power, capability, aggressiveness, self-assurance, and self-reliance, and self-realization. You say it. Our culture worships power in all its forms, from status and money to military and even leisure, and of course, sports, right? We enjoy the sensation of exercising power. We love to hear the sound of the power hit together. That's why we love football, and that's why we lost the game last night. There was a shot of power in the Packers last night. And the more you demonstrate your power and abilities, the more likely you are to succeed in this world. That's what we are told. So the beatitudes of our world are blessed are the powerful, blessed are the strong, and blessed are the proud and bold. What in the world is Jesus saying here? And how does this beatitude relate to us? This is why our first step into this beatitude shall be to revisit the meaning of true meekness. What is true meekness? Do we really know its meaning? Again, we tend to think of meekness in negative terms. It brings to mind unhelpful connotation, like images of blandness and impotence. We write meek, then we often read it as a weak. And this is not what we want for us and for our children, for our community, and sure, not for our Packers. What is then Jesus' understanding of meekness? What would his audience and the readers of his words be thinking of when they heard and read this beatitude at first? In the Bible, interestingly enough, the word translated to the English word meek refers only to two individuals. Only two individuals in the Bible. Do you know who the two are? Ready? Surprise? Scripture used the word meek to describe Moses and Jesus. Such giants of a faith. Okay, first, Moses. Who was he? When he was still a young, vigorous prince of Egypt, he killed an Egyptian slave master who was cruel to the Hebrew slaves. Whether he meant to do it or did it accidentally, he was acting with such a prideful attitude as, okay, I got this. I will take him in hand. But when he realized that his murder didn't go unnoticed, he fled to the far-off Midian wilderness where he lived for the next 40 years as what? As a foreign son-in-law who lived with his wife's family and watched his father-in-law's flock. One day, he encountered with the presence of God at a burning bush and heard the voice of the divine calling him to lead the Hebrew slaves out of Egypt. After his refusal and God's reassurance, he went back to Egypt and stood up to Pharaoh. Then you know the rest of the story of let my people go, right? As we read it in the book of Exodus, and we read further, the story of the 40-year-long wilderness wandering through which Moses guided the Hebrew to the brink of the land that God had promised with them. Okay, can you relate him to meekness? Here is Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 in King James Version. The man Moses was very what? Meek. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. In this passage, the Hebrew word translated meek is pronounced anav. It is also translated humble in other English translations. The Hebrew term carries an image of low status or lack of status. Nothing. Wow. What? Moses, known as the greatest leader of Israel, is associated with anav. No status. As the meekest, the lowest person on earth, who else would call this greatest leader that way unless he did so? Yes, I think it started with him acknowledging then that he was a man of anav, nothing, no worth of a high status. Then what changed this man, a man who was a proud, arrogant, rash man filled with self-importance? The 40-year-long wilderness made him humble. When God called him, his response was not like, hey, 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 I know you'd call me. Who else than me would complete this epic scale mission, right, God? No. Moses responded to God, who am I to do it? That's not where I see his meekness and humbleness. No, when God said back to him, Moses, go, I am with you. Here Moses answered them with meekness and humbleness this way. He decided to go back to Egypt, not full of himself, not with confidence in self-ability, but he went back full of faith in God. Okay, now it's not me who decide to go, but God sent me. Then we see the difference between proud Moses and meek Moses. Proud Moses ran away to avoid what he had to pay for what he did wrong. But meek Moses walked into the palace of Pharaoh. Proud Moses couldn't free one slave, but meek Moses freed the whole nation of them. Proud Moses sneaked out of Egypt, but meek Moses marched out at the head of all his people. Proud Moses led no one, but meek Moses, a servant of God, led a nation for 40 years. Proud Moses was afraid that his shortcoming would be revealed, but meek Moses trusted God's power and faithfulness would be revealed through him. Don't you see in Moses, meekness is not weakness, but strength. We can see this truth in Jesus as well. Jesus actually describes himself as meek. As we read today from the Matthew 11, take my yoke, this time I read again in King James Version, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Another translation, just like a New Revised Standard Version that we usually use in worship, says, I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Probably when it was spoken to his audience in Hebrew Aramaic language, Jesus might get the people confused. Why? How could a person who was considered meek and lowly be a rest for others? This recalls in me his words about greatness. He gave us new norm of greatness. In effect, Jesus was saying, do you want it to be important? Great. Do you want it to be recognized? Wonderful. Okay, do you want it to be great? Awesome. Then recognize that a person who is greatest among you shall be your servant. As we read this from Matthew chapter 20 in the other synoptic gospels alike. How could this paradox make sense? It's all because we know that it is God who says, who is the greatest at last? And it is because the power of the universe is under God's control. Be careful. I'm not saying here that our leaders of political, economic, and military power are under God's appointment. No, no, no. I am recognizing that everything on earth is from God, thus of God. God is above and beyond all things, and God is among and within all things. And it is the meek who recognize that their strength thus is in the Lord. And this must be understood better when we consider the Greek word that was used in the original New Testament here. The original Greek word translated as meek or gentle was pronounced praus. And I found it very interesting when I read this from one commentary. The ancient Greek people often used this term in regard to a war horse. Okay, these amazing animals that we can put on the picture on the screen. These amazing animals were caught in the wild. Then they were tamed to their rider's will. They learned to allow themselves to be settled, ridden, and directed by their rider. The horse's power was not taken away or diminished. They still retain their power and strength, but it's prowess. It's gentled. Biblical scholars believe that this might be a common image of the first readers who heard this word, prowess, as the words of Jesus here. Do you see that meekness is now power to submit to God's will? Meekness is the strong gentleness of a power that is under control, particularly under God's control, the control of God's Spirit. The meek use their power at the disposal of God's purpose. Okay, you might be feeling this way. Hey, I don't have a power. But I believe that all of us have a power, not intelligence, skills, energy, or money, but emotions, speech, presence, time. These are powers that you have. So that way, I came across a couple quotes. The great question of human life and meaning doesn't have to do with the question whether we have a power or not, but rather it has to do with how we use our powers and for what purpose. Here is the other. This is from Reverend Clarence Jordan, who is the founder of Koinonia Farm in Georgia, who gave an inspiration to start Habitat for Humanity. The secret to the power of the meek is that God's will becomes their will. Then whoever fights them is fighting against them. For surrendered human will is the agency through which God's power is released upon the earth. Now you see that the meek are God's war horse on earth. The meek are God's staff, just as one in Moses' hand. And this is about the blessing of the meek inheriting the earth. What's the earth? Then now, it's the earth where God's will be done, as Jesus taught us in his prayer, which is found in a couple next chapters. Okay, let me go back to where I began. Claire is my preaching assistant. Okay. I don't want to put you on a spot, but here. This week, while I was still in the process of collecting ideas and researching more for this message, I asked her, Claire, do you think I am gentle? Right? And then you'd say, hey, peace, what a dangerous question. Right? But then here I thought, yeah, I should answer, yeah, good. And because I think I am a nice guy and I would love to be known that way. So without any reluctance, yes, Dad, you are the gentlest person that I know. You have a warm heart and you have a sweet spirit. And that's not what she said. That's not what she said. But after a couple seconds of awkward silence, she said, yeah, you sometimes speak gently. Okay, cool. Then we changed the subject. What could I say more, right? But her response has been sitting in my mind because Claire reminded me that what we say and do and how we do it reveals what we are, whether we are gentle or not. Applying this to what we have learned about biblical meekness and gentleness this morning, it comes down to these questions. Whose will and power, whose value and purpose are being revealed in what we say and do? Perhaps This day in you, there is a battle going on between proud me and gentle me. Does the unrestful tension keep going on in you between wanting to clench more power that will show me off and wanting to reflect that what I have is from the one to whom I belong? Then, let me conclude this way. This beatitude teach us again how we can make this year a year of happiness and blessedness this way. It will be so when we let meekness and gentleness guide what? Our words and deeds. One step further to make it more practical. I think this way of one abbreviation, which may be already familiar to you, as it was familiar kind of decades ago, WWJD. It means, what would Jesus do? Right? And this is what I'm going to do this year more intentionally. And this is what I invite you to do for a year of beatitude, year of happiness and blessedness, with the definition of happiness in Jesus' term. So, in circumstance, every circumstance, especially circumstances that are hard for you to discern what it really means to be meek and thus true, powerful, may we let this question guide our words and deeds. WWJD, what would Jesus do with my words and deeds? That way, let his power, gentle power, be revealed in what we say and do. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.